Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I keep stumbling over
that.
It's the second time. Boy, you have a tally.
Yeah, I'm collecting it here.
I wonder what the punishment will be once I reach a certain number.
Speech therapist.
I know that can be punishment. You had a speech therapist that wasn't too wonderful, was he?
I did.
Anyway, welcome everyone to our show this morning. Here we are again, Wednesday. And we've got participants from the animal kingdom outside. They're obviously wanting to get on the show. Got a few callers in the queue, and I just want to let everyone know, of course, just to start off the show, how to get in touch with us, how to stay connected to our radio show. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can call Neil, 562-596-7818. To those of you listening who would like a reading, please give us a call on the show today, 914-338-0164. But today, before we get to our callers, 413-305, and our private Block member caller, we're going to be speaking a little bit about how to connect with your guide and how to see your guide. Also, how to leave your body when you're in the sleeping. Well,
yeah, I think today, because of limited time, I think today I'd rather connect to the idea of not how you connect to your guide is a big topic, and that you have
and
a guide.
And we've discussed that before. Of course, people can go into the archives and reference those past shows, but, you know, there's always new information to be shared. Anyway, sorry, Neil, go ahead.
Sure. We all have one major guide that we connect to that is assigned to our soul as it travels through the succeeding lifetimes on the earth. And so we have this permanent guide that stays with us throughout each lifetime. We can collect other guides and angels around us. I have a team of angels around me when I work. But I do have one specific guide, and we all have one specific guide. We all have this. And that guide stays with us through each succeeding lifetime. So we don't have to learn how to connect with our guide. We're already automatically connected to our guide. We don't have to learn how to do it. What we may have to learn to do is how to visibly or consciously communicate with our guide. We're already basically doing it through a lot of intuition and nonverbal communication. We're in constant communication with our guide. Our guide has to kind of step back. Picture your guide as your manager or your trainer that when in between lifetimes, that's when you connect specifically with your guide. That's when you talk to your guide. You're in your astral body. You're out of your physical body. That's when you have your training, your talk, your evaluations. Then when you go back into the world, that's like going back into the ring. Let's say you're a boxer. Your manager, your trainer is now on the side watching you, but he's not engaged in the ring itself. So your guide is not totally engaged in your life. That's what you're doing in that metaphor in your lifetime, in your physical body. You're kind of on your own. You've got your guide around you, but you're basically on your own. Now, as we know, in this metaphor, we have rounds in boxing. where we have certain rounds, 12 rounds, 8 rounds, whatever it may be. And in between the rounds, that's when you go and communicate with your trainer. Well, when some of us in our waking state can have brief moments consciously with our guide where we actually talk to our guide because we have learned how to communicate efficiently with our guide. Others of us, though, either have to wait until the light time's over, or what I suggest some of you do is to meet your guide in the astral realm during sleep. That's a good way to go, because as long as you're in the physical body, your guide has to kind of step back. You're on your own. This is your world, your life, your free will. This is what you have to do. They have to kind of stay on the sidelines. But what they can do is converse with your astral self, your soul. Let's call it your soul. They can connect to your soul. That's why they can sometimes do it in a conscious state while you're in your body if you're really attuned to it. Otherwise, what you can do is prepare to leave your physical body at night where your soul leaves, obviously still connected to your body by a silver cord, it's called, and you can actually meet and talk to and converse with and evaluate and have all kinds of conversations with your guide in the soul state of your sleep. And what I refer to that is significantly as the return trip. I call it the return trip is because when we leave our bodies at night, we have to return. So it's not the ultimate trip. The ultimate trip is when we leave our bodies and we're not coming back to the body. We've said goodbye to our physical body, goodbye to our physical life on the planet, and we're done. That's the ultimate trip. The return trip, which can also be defined as the return trip to past lives or the return trip to leaving the earth and then having to come back again. So the return trip can be defined also as past lives or as future lives. But within a lifetime, the return trip means that you're going to be astral projecting out of your body during sleep and returning to that same lifetime. That's also called a return trip. So I just want to signify that there's different levels of meaning about return trip. When you're out there, you talk to your guide. Now, your guide may appear as a figure, and you're having a dream. That's what it's about. You retain this by having a dream. And your dream may be that you're talking to a figure that you don't quite recognize, but they seem to be an authoritative figure. They can resemble your father or even your mother, somebody of authority. Doesn't mean you're actually talking to your mother or your father. Maybe you are, but your guide can appear as such.
So if you have a dream about your parents, for instance, or an authority figure, it could be you connecting with your guide, especially if you're talking about maybe higher level things.
It could be. Because they're the father of your soul, so to speak. They're in charge. They're helping you with your soul, and they can't appear that way. What happens is that the sleeping body with the brain in it is interpreting the guide as a kind of simile, an association to a father figure or a mother figure. The guy could appear as somebody that you just feel you don't even know, but they seem like to be an important, very important person in a dream you're having. It could be an old man, an old woman, somebody that you're talking to that seems to have authority, like in an interrogation. Your guide comes in many different forms in the dream state because your brain is reassembling what is happening on the astral realm back to the physical realm. Now, in that realm, the language is different. You're not really talking English. Your brain in bed is interpreting what's going on as English, like you're your own self-interpreter. But what's actually happening is you're vibrating. The soul is vibrating and communicating with your guide on a vibrational level. And then the dream, you're interpreting what's going on. That's why dreams get a little wacky, because they can't quite literally define the energy of the astral realm, so they make it look like, well, I was driving in a car, and I was talking to this person in the back seat, and they seemed to be very important, and I can't remember what we were talking about. That's just two souls meeting in heaven, not heaven, but in the clouds,
uh-huh.
It's called, in the astral realm. So if you have a dream that you're communicating in the astral realm, it can't feel like you're flying, you're in a plane, you're in a room, you're in a car. You're in a astral realm, and your brain is trying to configure an association to what it feels like. So that's what's going on there. Then usually what happens, I have clients will say, you know, I had this dream, I quite remember what it was, but I was talking to somebody, it was very important. Then you kind of need an interpreter to kind of dig a little bit to understand what the content was. You know, we were talking about the flowers in our garden, I don't quite know what that means. That would be interpreted as garden of your life, what you're producing, what you're working on, what you're doing. So every dream has its own symbolism and interpretation, not only in Freudian terms or in psychological terms, but in divine terms, what's really going on a higher level.
Right, and what a flower might mean in one dream is not going to be the same thing that it means in another.
That's right.
That's why dream dictionaries are really not the best resource. I mean, it's a start.
It's a start.
In examining a dream, but as far as how to interpret.
Freud came out with the interpretation of dreams, but everything there was on a sexual level and, you know, all that kind of mother-father Oedipus, Electra complex stuff. And then we eventually morphed into what dreams mean on a spiritual level, on a mystical level, mythical. You know, you dream about a tortoise. You're dreaming about deliberating on something, moving slow toward. You know, there's all these different meanings as to what symbols mean in dreams. But when you get into the spiritual realm, dreams may take on a whole different variety of interpretations because you're actually talking to your spirit guide or a spirit guide that is working alongside your specific spirit guide. Now, you can encounter angels in dreams, just as you can in a conscious state. But angels in dreams are usually those energies that will rescue you during a dream. So you're having a dream, you're in trouble. Because when you enter the astral realm, you're also entering a realm that has demons in it and low entities and all kinds of things. They recognize that you are a soul still attached to a body because they see the umbilical cord. They see the silver cord sleeping, and they can see actually your sleeping body beneath them as they can see the soul traveling around. So a lot of low entities will say, ah, let's give this soul some trouble. And like a bunch of unruly kids, they'll provoke you, they'll scare you, they'll try to pretend like they're going to overtake your body. Because that's what they do, just like petty criminals. That's what they do. And so sometimes angels will come in, free-floating angels will come in, see this is going on, and rush the body back and the soul back into the body. That's why some of us find ourselves transfixed during sleep when we wake up and we can't quite move our limbs. Typically, you're probably laying on your back, and your soul is trying to get inside your body, and your conscious body is waking up too soon. So the transition is happening while you're waking up, and that always leaves the body transfixed. And sometimes it will feel like you have something over you. That typically could be your body coming, your soul coming back in. As much as some people get really scared, it may be that you're like also experiencing entities chasing your soul back in, like running it back into a house being chased by pit bulls or something.
Mm-hmm.
So those energies come in. And now people will say, well, what about your guide? Can't your guide protect you? Your guide will not protect you. Your guide does not protect you. Guides don't protect. They advise. They work out, but they don't.
Or else
guides
we'd have a real
protect.
Easy time on the planet if the guides were here to protect
yeah.
us.
In fact, one of the hardest jobs for a guide is that they have to release you to free will. Angels will protect. Guardian spirits will protect,
you know,
but not guides.
This brings something to mind, Neil, that I wanted to mention quickly. Gosh, I have a few questions, and we're going to get to our callers in just a couple of minutes, so just hang tight, callers. We'll be right with you. But we were watching a new television show. I don't want to name the television show, but this person who claims to connect to angels and to, you know, dead loved ones and things like this, talked about people coming back as guardian angels. You know, there was a case where a woman had lost her brother from a drug overdose, and this woman claimed that the brother was now her guardian angel. I just wanted you to clarify that angels are never human beings. So
no,
I don't know what she's talking about.
I don't. Well, she's romanticizing the concept of what an angel is.
Mm-hmm.
A human being cannot become angels are an entirely different fabric
and
substance than a human being.
Certainly, after we cross over, we can assist people
mm-hmm.
from the other side. We can come in and help people that we loved on the planet. But it's
yeah.
not like we're here to, you know, oversee.
It's wrong to say that a human being is an angel. A human being and angels are totally different things. Angels were never human beings, and human beings are never going to be angels. They're an entirely
unless you're
different,
like a fallen angel and you come to the planet.
You can come to the
That's
planet
different
as a fallen
entirely.
Angel.
Entirely.
That's correct. You
yeah.
can. That's a whole different topic. That's
totally
correct.
Different topic.
In terms of falling into the human state. From having fallen from a heavenly
from a
state.
Graceful state
yeah.
into yeah.
An angel can occupy a human body too. We're not saying that, but you don't die and become an angel. Angels are totally different. Probably a better technical term would be guardian soulmate, guardian soul companion, guardian spirit form. You can equate that's at least better a more accurate. Than saying, oh, my father's my guardian angel. No, your father may be your guardian soulmate, your guardian spirit form, your guardian loved one. They can form some basis for guardianship when a person crosses over. But then again, it's like the old saying that we pick our parents.
Yeah.
We don't. If we pick our parents, then where are our parents in that concept? They have no say in the matter.
Right.
So mm-hmm. if somebody picks me as their parent, that means mm-hmm. that I have to become their parent. And
you
I
have
maybe,
no choice. Exactly.
I have no, no. It's the concepts have unfortunately become clumsily defined, and we tend to get this popular concept of what the universe is out there. When you stop and think about it logically, it makes no sense. So we don't pick our parents are our parents because there's a karmic energy going on as a group. Everyone's involved in the process. And that becomes very entangled until someone is either released from the form or they transcend. But until one dies and transcends the planet entirely, we can best rest assured that we do keep returning to our planet. I had a client just recently tell me, well, it will be my free will whether I return or not.
Who told you? Oh, I...
I don't want to mention any
obviously
names.
Obviously, no, but I...
You don't... It's not a person's free will whether you return or not.
Unless you've been given permission to transcend. So that's the only point where you can elect.
Yeah.
To come back.
You can elect to come back. You transcend, you elect to come back. I believe Christ elected to come back here. I think Christ was on the planet before and he elected to come back.
My free will. Interesting.
But free will involves, we have free will on the planet to a certain extent.
Right.
That's the breadth of our human extension.
You know, I had another question when we were talking earlier, and it was related to that. Does anyone, I know that, you know, murder someone, you end up returning to the planet numerous times, or if you take your own life, obviously there's a price to pay when you commit a great act like that.
Yeah.
In terms of returning to the planet. But does a soul ever get banished to a darker place permanently? You know, like when, for instance, you maybe take your life and you walk the earth or you go to a different area in the astral realm where you, you know, it's kind of like
there
a holding
lost,
cell.
There are forgotten souls.
There are forgotten souls.
Oh, terrible. There are forgotten
that
souls.
Will never come into a human body and never move to a higher
space.
Well,
you see, when we time is an earthly concept. It's a universal concept,
right.
But it's also an earthly concept. When you get beyond time, then we're getting into an energy that it's hard for us to conceptualize, just like it's hard for us to conceptualize in measurable space, that it just goes on and on and on forever. And when we talk about forever, there's no end to it, so there is no time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even talking about it. Now we're getting into physics and things like this, but
right.
When we get into the energy of the infinite, it's mind-boggling. And if you say that a soul is infinitely lost, well, that has a different terminology than saying that a soul may be damned or it may be banished to a realm of lost and forgotten, without light, without form. That can happen. But there are redeemable features that can occur, just like if someone has 225 life sentences a year,
mm-hmm.
that means they have to keep coming back to fulfill that time, even though they may have died only serving 40 years of that time.
Okay. We are way over here on our limit of talking, and I want to make sure we get all our callers in, Neil. So we will continue on Monday, as we always do. Let's get our first caller in. We've got 413-305. Private caller, you need to press 1 if you want to speak with us, please, because you're just in listening mode right now. So we need to have your hand raised. And then 315. All right. There they are. So everyone is in line. 413, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, who's this?
This is Amber.
Oh, hey, Amber. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. 11-18-88?
Yes.
And she's a 37-10-1. What's going on?
I was interested in knowing about finances and if I'll be able to get a place of my own in the near future.
Okay.
Okay, let's see.
We've talked to Amber many times before. And any just quick update on what's going on in your life right now, just to get us on track?
I'm trying to move out of with the guy that I've been with. I'm trying to get my own place. So,
okay, good for you.
Thank you.
Now, am I correct that if you were to move out on your own, the way you calculate your income, you would barely be making it, but you could, but barely. Is that right? Sorry, Amber.
Can you hear me? Sorry, I said yes, hon.
She said
no,
yes.
No, I can't. No, you got to, if you're talking on a headphone or something, keep it real steady because I need the vibration of your voice.
Okay.
So would I be correct in saying that?
Yes.
Yeah. So what it means, Amber, is that you're still in a karmic stage. And as you're in this karmic stage and you haven't quite transcended and you're still dealing with karma, what it means is that, first of all, people who were born on the 18th, lucky, lucky, lucky. You got a good, that's a wonderful day to be born on. It's got a wonderful energy in it. There's an 8 that is transcendent money, power, management. The 1 and 8 occupies a 7, from 1 to 8 is 7, so it's pure spiritual energies. All the chakras are there, from the base chakra to the 8th chakra, but that's a movement of 7 chakras. And it's a wonderful element. Now, you do have an 11 in your month, which I must have shared with you, that's your problematic karmic stuff. So
mm-hmm.
in moving, what your karma's allowed for you to do, because we're basing this on the root system of your past lives and what it's brought to you in this stage, is that you've got enough points to be able to move at this time in the end of your boyfriend and just barely make it. Now, you're probably, if you're unhappy and it's not working out, you're probably better off leaving and struggling and just barely making it than having that buffer of energy with your current partner and being miserable. Because what we
mm-hmm.
want to do is karma as rapidly as possible. So what I think is that you would eventually gain steam by moving and struggling but moving, and then eventually find your footing again and go from a crawling position to an upright position. It would be like a little metaphor of evolution. You'd become a standing erect Homo sapien. And it might take about 8 to 10 months. But I predict that, you see, you have a lot of eights in your energy, which is wonderful. So you could have about 8 months of struggling. And in those 8 months, Amber, you could say, oh, boy, why did I do this? Why did I do this? This is such a struggle. But if you keep breathing forward and moving forward, your finances, your job, everything will start to pick up again. It will be a beautiful advancement of energy. And you'll be saying to yourself, wow, I'm glad I left, got through this, because now I'm independent and I'm better than struggling. And then it will slowly go. So that's what I predict will happen. At the onset, are you planning to move into a house or into a rental?
I don't know. Whatever I'm able to afford, basically.
Well, what I mean is, do you want to buy a house or do you want to rent?
I would rent it. I wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the answer to that would be, no, I'm renting. Whether I stay in an apartment or a house, I'm renting. My suggestion is that you rent according to your space. What I mean by that is, if you can afford a house and it's just you renting the house and the neighborhood isn't, you're going to walk outside and get shot, then I would suggest a home. Especially if there's an option to buy. That might be important to you. I do see this advancement coming. To answer your question for a radio reading, I do see that it's a good idea to leave. It's a good idea to work through this. It's going to be about 8 months. I do see you moving into a rental, but I would start to go to a house first. But if that's too much for you, don't worry. It's just too deep water for the moment. And then get into either a townhouse or a duplex or something like that, apartment. But then you'll be making more money, and I think in about 8 months' period of time, you're going to be in a better position.
Thank goodness. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam, for your call. Okay, keep in touch.
I will, definitely. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Okay. Area code 305 is next. Then we have our private caller and then our 315. This is 305-308. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning. This is Samantha.
I'm sorry, whom?
Samantha.
Can you spell your name? And can you talk a little bit clearer, please, for us? Because it's difficult.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Samantha, like the witch on Bewitched.
Still, give us a spelling, because we're still, I think we're looking at each other.
I'm sorry. S-A-M-A-N-T-H-A.
Oh, Samantha?
Yes.
Oh, it's Samantha. Samantha, I'm so sorry. I should have looked and recognized your
Samantha.
Number.
Samantha. Yeah.
32188. Okay, hi, Samantha.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I don't know. I just feel really happy and upbeat, and I'm hoping that means good things are coming.
Neil?
You feel good and upbeat, and so you think that means good things are coming.
Well, I'm hoping.
So, you called, let's see, you called in our last show, and let's see, meditation, what do I have here? Mother, meditation, parents troubled. Your energy right now, you're 26 years old. Yeah, we were talking about you basically getting close to being 5 years prior to being 32. You have a strong energy going. There's, you know what I get in terms of what you're saying, you're basically in a good mood. It's because you're moving into a spiritually enlightening place right now. So you're going to be probably spiritually enlightened about something. Sometimes that makes us feel really good because we get to receive information that makes us feel good. It helps to ground us. So I think you're going to get confirmation about something, Samantha, coming up. So I think your perceptions are right. But you're going to get confirmation about something that will help ground you and also help to connect you to your specific angels that are around you. Because I'm perceiving that there are angelic forms around you, so to speak. Somewhere about 4 or 5 months from now, I'm seeing some traveling going on. Now, do you have anything planned for travel around the end of the year?
No, I don't.
You don't? So there's nothing in a family zone, there's nothing vacation, nothing going on yet?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. Well, Samantha, what I'm picking up on is that you haven't walked to the place yet where it's manifested for you. But I think that you're going to be traveling. There could be possible some romance surrounding it. I can't recall. Are you single right now in a relationship?
I'm very much single.
Well, Samantha, I'm getting something to do with an element, a theme of romance, and from that theme comes travel. We're doing a radio reading, so it's still a little bit vague. But have you ever been in a romantic situation with anybody where you did some traveling with the person?
I have been just to different locations in Florida, but nothing like out of state.
Well, there's something that may be coming up, Samantha, that will change, because as I'm reading you today, I'm getting a feeling, at least over the radio, that there's going to be some scheme of romance and travel. I'm not sure yet what. I can't quite get my head around the specifics, but that's what I'm picking up on. A relationship year and a half ago, were you in any relationship a year and a half ago?
I was, and the individual passed away.
Oh, well, you were, and the individual passed away, so I could be subtly picking up on the vibration of this person. And that may be, you know, when we talk about, Samantha, was this person a very strong heart person for you, someone in your heart?
Yes.
And was their passing rather abrupt?
Yes. He was murdered.
Yeah. So, the murder, did it occur anywhere? Was his lungs or his heart compromised by the murder? Was he shot there?
Yes.
Yeah. What I'm picking up on, Samantha, is the element of the spirit of this person. They're in the astral realm right now. And what they're doing, well, they're probably dealing with tons of karma right now. But what they're doing in the midterm is that they decided to visit you here.
Out of curiosity, I'm wondering if she has a birth date for this person. Just quickly. I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you know the birth date?
No. Yes, August 14th, 1989. I'm not sure.
Oh.
40. Well, you know, that becomes a 9. Together you become a 9. But the lover that was shot...
And the birth date.
The master number of this person was a 4, and that's heart chakra.
Interesting.
And I'm getting, you know, the impact of the heart energy. Also, your master number is 5, and it's hidden in his 14, which amounts to a 5. And then, of course, your days are interchangeable. Your 2 to his 1 is 21, and your 1 to his 4 is 14. And that becomes the days that you each were born. there is trouble between the two of you because he's an 8 and you're a 3 in your month, and there's that drastic 11. But I have a feeling that as he's working out his energy about how to come back to the planet again and work out his karma, he's spending some time with you now trying to help bridge you to your next romantic connection. Because his exit prompted the next human being to come into your life that's going to be considered one of your past life soulmates, past life soulmates. That means that you have some past life history with this person. So he's stating that. I'm getting a strong T, the letter T, S, T, T. I'm getting a strong T in the element that we're speaking. I don't have time to go into this too much longer, Samantha, but that letter T is coming in like a Troy, a Trey, a Trevor, I don't know, but there's a strong T going on in the element as we're speaking. Travis, I'm not sure yet. It could be a signpost up ahead. But that's coming in, and he's around you, and he'll try to give you further contact in the near future.
Okay.
Okay, Samantha. Well, that's a start.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's more than I even hoped for.
Well, good. We're glad.
Glad
to hear it.
I'd love to go into more detail, but I don't have time, Samantha, but maybe another opportunity.
Okay.
Oh, I understand completely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. 562-596-7818. Yeah, well, the radio, it's tough. I mean, I'm glad we were able to get this guy's birth date. I'm not sure that I was aware. Maybe she mentioned this to us before, that she had lost somebody.
I don't have any
recollection of it at all.
It's not coming from any memory.
No, I know for
in.
You,
yeah.
But I mean, for me, normally I remember, and I don't. So
yeah.
It was... yeah, nice that we're able to do that. Okay, so we have our private caller and area code 315. It follows them. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'm Deanna. I'm in Miami as well. I'm sorry I blocked my number. I did not realize I had. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
11849.
11849.
33-6.
Is that who's calling? Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yes. 11849 is who's calling.
No. He's referring to something else.
Okay.
There's another phone ringing here. Phones everywhere. But anyway, Deanna, so go ahead with your question.
I don't know what question to ask, but I'm going through a very difficult time, and this morning I was physically very much in pain. But I'm much better now, much better. I had to go to court yesterday to do something, and apparently I forgot to send the other party notice last week or 2 weeks ago. Whenever I did go in, it made me feel very, very, unintelligent because I know procedures. But I guess I don't know my own unconscious.
Uh-huh. So the background quickly, Neil, is that we've spoken with her once before, and she's having an issue with the home. You're also trying to get a job, correct, in a court?
Right. Correct.
Right.
Good memory.
So specifically, what do you want to focus on?
Well, I'm going to need to move by mid-next month, and I'm not quite sure. And I thought I was going to go yesterday to court and receive the required funds, and now it's not until next week, and I seem to be putting my foot in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Why is my timing so off? Is this part of a greater situation where I'm just a cog and I have to move together with everything else, even though I don't know what's going on? It seems like my will cannot seem to forge ahead.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you something, Deanna. One problem you've got, we're analyzing things here quickly, you're born on the 11th month, which is always going to be some problem. Elevens do come in the world with some challenging energy. Your 18 is therefore split up between the 1 and the 8. It's just that the 1 is in the month and the 8 is in the day, which would have given you the power to get through all of this at this point in time. Your karma is 33 years old. Your master number is 6. So you had a change of energy at the age of 33. So really quickly, Deanna, what happened at 33?
I had to fight a battle at work, and I won.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Fight, battle, work, won. So I think you're going to win again. But you see, the thing is that we haven't gone through a full cycle of 33 yet. That will take you to the age of 66. You're at 64. So you're trying to win this new battle at 64 when ideally you're not supposed to win battles until 66. So that's why you're kind of your bearing and your balance and your memory and your strategic notions of how to operate are all a little bit mixed up, because you're like 2 years away from the epitome of your accuracy.
It started when I was 59, actually maybe even 58, and I'm losing strength. This has been a battle that has gone on for over 6 years, one about truth and lies and about, being victimized. I don't think I can wait until 66. It's been a struggle for 6.5 years already.
No. I'm not suggesting you have to wait until then, Deanna. I'm just telling you why you're having a problem right now. Now the answer is, how do we correct it so that you don't wait till you're 66 and you can do it at 64? That's all I'm suggesting. Now, 64 is important. And 64 is important because it's actually an element of energy. You said 58, 59. Well, those are important energies too, because 33, 43, 53, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's basically around, you're talking to me about 24 years past your karma, which is 6 times 4. So the age that you're giving me when things started to fall apart was about approximately 24 years past your karma. That's your karma is 6, so 6 times 4 is 24, 24 years past the age of 33, and that's when you're having your problems. You are 64 now, and to visualize that as 6 times 4. So I would determine, Deanna, that indeed before November, being that you are 64, and I've quickly calculated some numbers here, that you don't have to wait till you're 66. You actually will have a change of energy before November. So
It's funny. I always, when I turned 64, I thought of 8, which is my birth number, my base number, squared. So I thought this would be like a very interesting year because it's 8 squared.
Yes. It's 8 squared. You're absolutely right. And 8 squared is locked. You're right, Deanna, because your master number is 6, and so you're going to have some third eye insight. Now, that squared energy is very hidden. It's hidden in your 11, which becomes a 2. Now, we're going to take that 2, and we're going to produce it as a squared, not as just a 2, but as a square 2 over the 8, your succeeding number. That's 64. That's where we have a strong element of change going on. Also, what that is 6 is your master number, 4 is your balance number, it's your heart number. It also, 4 is occupied in your year of 49. So you're 64.
I like 4.
I'm sorry?
I like 4.
Yeah, 4 is your balance number. It's in your year. It's next to a 9, which is strength. So for the sake of time, what I can tell you in the radio is that I think things are going to be resolved before November, and more around your move in mid-October. You're going to see some things changing. So I think that I'll keep producing energy for you too, and hopefully by this time, mid-October, you're going to have a better report.
Okay, Diana.
Deanna. Thank you so much. I'm going to call. Thank you for remembering that. I'm going to call once more before mid-October. Thank you very much for today.
Oh, you're welcome, of course. And we'll look forward to hearing from you and finding out how things are progressing. Of course, Deanna can reach Neil at 562-596-7818. And all right, we've got a couple more callers. 315 is next, and then we have a caller from 856. So let's bring on 315. Good morning. Thanks for waiting so long.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
My name is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Where are you calling from? What's your birth date?
I'm calling from New York.
Okay.
My birth date is 8/13/59.
Gosh, it's so weird because the 8 is just, everyone. And everyone has an 8 today. What's your question, Julie?
I was just kind of wondering what you see maybe with my job. There seems to be an awful lot of change going on lately, and I'm just kind of really worried about it all.
Okay.
Okay. Well, in order to work a little bit with what's going on with you now, I want to ask you quickly about the age of 36.
Okay.
1995. What was going on?
That was I've been working for the same company for 27 years, but in 1995 I moved to the current position that I'm in. I started out in one department and I moved to a different department, and I've been there since 1995.
Yeah. There we go. See? So you had a really nice change. That was at the release of your karma to transcendence, and you were positioned in the job that you are in now. So that's splendid. Now, you've been there in this position for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at your first two numbers, 81, and invert them. There's 18.
Oh, okay.
So what's going on now, and your master number is 9, so 9 factors into 18 twice. And so what's happening now is not a mistake. It's not an accident. It's part of your karmic journey.
Okay.
Also, at the age of 54, this is going to be tricky, but listen to me. You're born in 59.
Right.
5 and the 9 is a 4. Between the 5 and the 9 is a 4. So we have 5, visualize 4, and 9. You are 54 now, which adds up to 9.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I just turned 55.
I know I'm dealing with a playful system of numbers, but they are codes and something. Trust me. Now, your job, there's writing something, a mandatory writing of something on the job. Where do you have to write, formulate writing material?
Writing? I don't really do much. I code, but...
Okay, so that's writing, right?
It's the coding.
Okay.
Yeah,
coding.
Is a narrative. It's a narrative.
Okay.
I talk about numbers, I go into a narrative, as you can see. So the coding you do, this is significant. Has there been any change in the code system?
Yes, there has.
Yeah. So the change in the code system, what I'm going to do, what I'm seeing with you, Julie, is that the elements that are going on mysteriously at your work has to do with the karmic energy of the work. Because your work is your tribal zone, and there's different things going on within the work environment that are affecting you personally, because you have a personal stake in this, because it's all past life transformation. You've been with the group before. It was in a past life. It morphed into this organization in this lifetime and that kind of thing. I'm also getting a lot of communication going on. There seems to be something overseas. Does your job have any connection to overseas?
Yes, they've brought in a lot of outsourcing from overseas.
Yeah. So I'm now what I'm getting as we move forward, I won't be able to complete this today, but as we move forward, Julie, I'm beginning to understand kind of the territory you're in, and I don't have time to explain what's going on in my head as to how to fix it or correct it or help you with it, but I'm doing that as we speak. I'm tweaking things for you. So I'm doing that as much as I can do on a radio reading, and I'm moving things around a little bit. In your own home, have you had any other problems, electrical problems, light bulbs, plumbing?
No.
No problems in the home itself. How about in your work environment? Has there been any reconstruction, structural work?
Not really. I had a renovation in the home last summer in my home.
Oh, you had a renovation in the home. Don't worry. And with the limited amount of time I have to work, my time scheme may get a little bit out of the window. But the renovation that you had in your home last summer is what I'm picking up on. That's it.
Okay.
So I'm going to just take the element of that validation and apply it further to the element of your work. I really don't have too much time to go into much detail, but what I'm doing is hopefully going to help you in the long run with your work situation. I do feel that what's going on is a karmic change, but that can still mean you got to have your seatbelt on during it. So, fasten your seatbelts. We're running into a storm. So you're
right.
In a storm period, and you need a seatbelt, and you probably need more advice, but I just don't have time for it because of the structure of our radio show. But what I'm doing for you is the best I can do for you, given our limited amount of time. In other words, I'm doing things psychically and energetically with you now that I have you on the phone and I'm listening to your voice. Just hang in there. Call us back. Keep us posted.
Okay, I will.
All right, Julie.
Thank you
so much for your call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Julie can follow us on Twitter. She can join us on Facebook, and she can, of course, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. Neil, that was, a lot of validations in that reading.
Well, the reading, the reading of the people is important. I want to get the other calls, though.
Yeah, just
make
one
sure.
More. Just one more.
Oh, one more?
7 minutes.
Okay.
And it's area code 856. I feel like I know this number, but I'm not sure. Who's this?
Rosemaria, how are you? I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Maria?
Rosa Maria, hi.
Rosa Maria.
How are you?
Uh-huh. Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Birth date again, please?
12/31/74.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And she was overseas, now she's back. And what's going on?
Whatever you can pick up, I'll make it easy today. I know you don't have much time.
One, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, anything you can pick up, is that what she said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's our sole person without an 8 in her birth date today, but she does have, of course, did I do her? Yeah, 28 and 1, so there is an 8 there.
She's 39 years old.
That's right.
Rosa Maria, I have a... Rosa Maria, if I'm wrong, don't freak out, because this is not a premonition. But did one of your parents cross over?
No.
Have you had to attend any funeral or go to the church for any reason for someone who has crossed over in the last year?
Last year, 2013.
Yeah.
That's the last year.
Who is that person?
A friend's aunt.
A friend's aunt?
Or a friend's sister. Either way, family, friends.
Uh-huh. And are you close to this person?
Yes, and the mother.
Uh-huh. You're close to the friend and her mother?
And his mother.
This friend Are you? Is this a very intense relationship? Very close in that regard?
You can say that. I'm in the U.S. He's overseas right now.
Is there? Do you have plans to meet and meet up, or is there?
Not yet.
Oh well, that's what I'm getting today as a vibe. And I don't know yet, you know, how to elaborate, but I'm working on that vibe right now on that basis. Was this ever a close relationship, like an intimate relationship, or just platonic?
We've known each other for a long time. We've known each other as kids.
Oh. Well, something's going on. Is he potentially any danger over there?
Not that I know of yet.
Not that you know of yet.
I'm sensing it.
You're what? Sensing it?
I'm sensing it. I wasn't in danger, but I was safely taken out in a position out of the town for now.
Well, that's what I'm picking up on, Rosa Maria. And I want to, I think, since we don't have a whole lot of time yet left, let you and I put out a special prayer for this person of protection.
Okay.
I think it's also coming from the person's, from whoever crossed over that the person knew, the sister.
His aunt. And his mother passed away too, so I don't know if you're picking up them or his mother.
The mother passed away because I was asking about one of your parents. So
his mother passed away years ago.
Yeah, but they're coming through. They're coming through. Would this person, this friend of yours, have they ever, to your knowledge, owned a gun?
Not to my knowledge.
Are they around any weaponry as we speak that you would know of?
I know he has works with tools.
Well, tools aren't weapons. Well, tools can be weapons, but I wish I had more leisure time to get into this. I think what we'll do is you and I are just going to have an angel sent over and protect them. I don't want to go into any panic mode, and I think that's all we need to do, and he'll be fine. But it just seems like sometimes in readings, angels will come in, and souls that have crossed over will come in and just say, we need a little extra protection. Have you ever broken an extremity, like a leg or an arm, in your whole life? Have you ever broken a bone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just want to tell you, that today we succeeded in connecting to an angel, and I was able to validate things very quickly in the format of our radio show to send something over to this individual to help them, guide them, you know. But let's not step too far into panic. I think this is protection that will be granted. Also, Rosa Maria, for later effect, I want you to be aware of the name David.
David.
Yeah, okay. That's for later. For later effect. Meaning for future reference, not now.
Okay, and we are 90-second warning here, Rosa Maria, so we've got to cut it short, unfortunately, but give us a call back, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
2596-7818 is Neil's number. Rosa Maria can reach him there. And we are back on the air on Monday morning, Neil.
Well, okay.
All
another
right.
Another show then.
Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.